Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chamber Channel's Five Questions podcast. This is the place where we take a deep dive with industry leaders for an inside look at their world and how they can make a difference in yours.
Andrea Bramson is a longtime local advocate for people with disabilities. The Chamber recently teamed up with her group, the Beaufort County Disabilities Coalition, to encourage employers to consider hiring those with special needs. She's in our studio today to talk a little bit about what that might look like for a business, as well as her co-founding of the Full Spectrum Studio and more. Let's listen.
When we talk to our local businesses, workforce is always a top issue, specifically the lack of available or qualified employees. Why should some employers consider a person with disabilities? How could it benefit an employer?
I think what we're trying to do is to make sure that the employer considers everyone that can be a viable and best candidate. That includes, obviously, folks in our community, people with disabilities. What we want to make sure is that they realize that there is a huge community out there that is looking for work and is available to work. And once given the opportunity, will prove themselves to be more than worthy of that trust. And that with some encouragement and mentorship, those folks in our community will work as hard, if not harder, than anyone else.
What would be the benefit to a person with disabilities having a full-time or even a part-time job locally?
Part-time, temporary, full-time. Some of our folks are able to and willing to work shift work. So that is, you know, that's a benefit to the employer. What we know for a fact is that anyone who is included in a community becomes a part of a group, becomes a part of a team. Their self-esteem grows, their confidence grows, their ability to function not just in that team, but other teams grows. They become more active and successful members of the community. There's just no downside.
Do you have any success stories of some either employers or employees who've successfully...
I'll speak from my personal experience. Mm-hmm. My daughter, Victoria, is 36. She has worked a 30-hour-a-week job. This was in Northern Virginia, so it was put together through an organization that finds job opportunities for folks with disabilities. When she became a part of that team with an organization called Service Source, she wore her uniform. She took her transportation. She suffered the indignities of a workplace that had some things that she didn't like. And at the same time, she reveled in receiving her paycheck and knowing that she had a job to do. She made friends there. She made not friends there. She was a part of that team. So that is my personal success story. At the same time, I have seen others and heard other parents say, when my dependent was a part of that community, my dependent worked the register. My dependent stocked shelves, was a part of that team. Famous, or the story with which that has impacted me the most is a story about the Walgreens Distribution Center in Anderson, South Carolina, that was purposely purpose built and then purpose staffed, with at least one third of the staff being people from the community, people with disabilities. These are all disabilities of all shapes and sizes. Some of it was physical, some of it was cognitive, some of it, there was just a little bit of everything. And the success of that distribution center is at this point legendary. Folks that started working there when it opened are still there. Mm-hmm. Folks moved across the country to be a part of that team and are still there. There are parents that, as part of just some open source information out there, they will say, my dependent became a part of that team and they are up an hour before they need to be these days so that they can get to work and they can settle themselves in before their day starts. Those are things that these are not apocryphal stories. These are real stories. It takes, however, a concerted effort to make that happen. It's not something that just kind of just going to make it happen. We have to have employers and employees, each that are willing to give 100% to meet in the middle and then still become stronger than the sum of their parts.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like once you people with disabilities, they sound like very loyal employees.
Absolutely.
Once 100%. They get going.
And at the same time, these are humans like all of us are humans. And mm-hmm. when they find something that isn't right, they will let us know. And mm-hmm. we will know that something is not right and needs to be remedied. And that is important as well. There will be miscommunications. There will be tardiness because transportation and mentorship are the two elements that we have identified as key to making this successful. And the mentorship is not just of the employee. It's a mentoring of the employer. A lot of our employers, we just don't know how to handle the community of people with disabilities. My own daughter has rather limited social skills at times. And sometimes those limitations are not because she is very quiet and very reserved. It's because she's very vocal and very not tuned into what would be appropriate. So there will be employers who will see that as a downside and not know how to handle it. So it falls on some of us, or maybe the parents, the family, some of the mentors for our potential employees to also mentor the employers, to give them the tools so that they know how to manage and how to adapt to and how they can help the employee be more productive in the environment.
Let's switch gears and talk about Full Spectrum Studio, which you founded in 2020. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, we waited for there to be a pandemic so that we could, because that made a lot of sense. I'm a graduate from the University of South Carolina with a degree in art, which of course means nothing to most people because I then spent 30 years in the federal government. It has, however, always been my passion. A few years ago, my son encouraged me to go see a program on the West Coast in San Francisco called Creativity Explored, which is a cooperative of artists with disabilities. And I thought, well, that's really wonderful. At the time, I was living in mm-hmm. the Washington area. I said, that's, you know, a great thing. I wish there was something like that in Washington. Oh, well. We moved down here in 2017, and my daughter had participated with a local program and enjoyed it immensely and had some good mm-hmm. success there. And at one point I said, you know, is there a chance she can do this full time, this artwork that she was doing mm-hmm. at the local program, which is a wonderful and still very vibrant program. There was no way they could accommodate that. And so, you know, putting my best parent hat, me and my co-founder, Judy Russell, we kind of looked at each other and just said, well, how hard can it be? We'll just go ahead and open our own studio for artists with disabilities. Mm-hmm. Let's just go ahead and do that. So we did. And actually, probably one of the better things is that because it was in the middle of a pandemic or the beginning of a pandemic, everything was shut down. So we were able to do that very slowly, very deliberately, very carefully. And we have opened what we believe is still the only studio for artists with disabilities in the state of South Carolina. It is dedicated to art. It provides an environment from within which our people with disabilities can discover and evolve their creative voices. Mm-hmm. And what we have found is that given the opportunity, as in so many instances, people in our community will absolutely blow you away.
Where can people in the community find some of this art? Are you at farmers markets or...
Yep, we are at the farmer's market on Hilton Head every Tuesday morning from 9 to 1. Mm-hmm. We are at the community market at Shelter Cove every Saturday from 9:30 to 12:30. We go to just about every market we can find mm-hmm. that allows us to participate. We've been active at the Historic Honeyhorn Art Market for the last 3 years. We have been to Mayfest in Bluffton. We have been to the Hilton Head Beach and Racket. Show. We are at Sea Pines whenever they have open markets. So we try to make ourselves available, and we have a retail space at our location at 33 Bow Circle. So always welcome to come and see us there or make an appointment. You say I can't be there till Sunday at 5, we will meet you Sunday at 5.
How many artists work out of the studio?
Right now we have 6 permanent artists. We also work with another program in the area with Pockets Full of Sunshine that comes to us once a month, and we host 10 to 12 artists of theirs when they come to us. They're raised when they're with Pockets. They're artists when they come to us, and so we enjoy having that. We also work with the Hilton Head High School. We have five artists that come from Hilton Head High School once a week to us during the school year. And we work with them to help illustrate to them how they can explore art as not just creative self-expression, but exploring ways that this could potentially be a career choice, something that they might look at for their own future development.
Great. Well, that all sounds really amazing. Thank you so much for coming in.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. The podcast continues to grow, and never miss an episode of our Five Questions podcast by subscribing to the Chamber Channel on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take a moment to download, subscribe, and leave us a review. It helps us reach more people.